In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know if the word has gotten out around town yet, but I'm not sure if you got the message or if you heard the word about it, but if I'm the first person to tell you, I'm going to tell you it right now. Did you know that Christ is risen?
Alleluia.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
I was sneaky on that one, but we're going to do it again. Christ is risen.
Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. So he is, brothers and sisters, and that's why we're here today. Today is the octave day, the eighth day of Easter. Easter Sunday redux eight times, the eighth time which we celebrate Easter Sunday today on this octave day, Sunday in white, also known as Divine Mercy Sunday. And there are great graces in store for all of you who are here. Even if you're stumbling in here with no clue what it is that we're into, you're going to hear about it, and you're going to receive it if you open yourself up to receive it as he gives it now. And so what do we have today? One announcement is that this Tuesday, Deacon Marvin is going to be offering a class on baptism for all those who wish to be godparents, parents of the baptized, or you just want to know more about baptism, 6 p.m., room number 2. Another thing on Tuesday is that I won't be here during the morning all the way until the evening because I'll be in Rio Rancho offering the funeral mass for a young woman who visits our parish frequently from Rio Rancho, her brother Eric Maddie, who died under very tragic circumstances. I'll be offering his funeral on Tuesday the 26th there in Rio Rancho, and keep him in prayer because we know that he died not expressing in any visible way at all faith in Christ. Yet the church always holds out hope, hope. Mercy is those there for those who seek it, even in the final moments, as we saw upon the cross, the good thief, a single hour of nearly anonymous faith, anonymous to all but Christ indeed. What else do we have this week? I want to remind you that at some point today, I'm not sure when it ends, the rummage sale that our young ones are going to have in a bake sale, it ends at 5 plus 1, I think that's 6 p.m., 6 p.m. today. 6 p.m. today is when it ends. It's in room number 5, I think, right? Room number 5, and to support them as they're on their way to Steubenville to go on their retreat. Thank you for doing so. Also, keep our young men and women in your prayers. On the 31st of next month, those who prepare themselves over such a great time will be receiving the sacrament of confirmation at the hands of Father Oscar Coelho, the Archbishop's representative. Pray for them. So many of them have done so well on their exams. Not all have done as well as Desiree Anaya did, but all of them have done fairly well. She's embarrassed, and I'm going to embarrass her, because she scored a 9.9. 999. She did real well. She did real well. And she thought she wasn't going to. So, well done. All of you who still have left to take the exam, coraggio, fuerza, the Lord is giving you strength. Do it well. What else do we have? Finally, to remind you that on the last, the first Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of the month of May, I will be gone in Albuquerque at Father Nick's parish, the parish of St. Anne's Parish in Albuquerque, and there I will be offering a mission on Our Lady of Fatima. On Our Lady of Fatima, particularly speaking about the first 5 Saturdays devotion as well. And so if you happen to be in town or you want to know more about it or in any way, I will find a way. They said that they're going to try to live stream it in some way, however that they do it. I'll make sure you know. And always the talks will be recorded and sent out to the parish. I regret to inform you at the conclusion of Mass, I won't give you a hug on the way out. I know that's a normal thing that we do, but because Divine Mercy Sunday is today, what I'm going to do is make a beeline as soon as I get to the back of the church, head straight into the confessional. And I'm going to be there until there are no confessions left, and you all will have the exact same penance. And that is to pray the 3 o'clock prayer of the Divine Mercy. I have it on a card. If you don't have it memorized, that will be everybody's penance, to pray that. Something very simple. Make use of God's Divine Mercy, which we're going to hear about as we proclaim these words from the Gospel. The Scriptures say, after our Lord said, peace be to you, he breathed on his disciples and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you hold retained, they are retained. Words taken from the end of the Gospel of John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody here who is a fan of American literature? You like to read. Danny, you like to read. Who likes to read? If you like to read, you've probably heard of the great American writer, Ernest Hemingway. You know him? Ernest Hemingway is one of these great 20th century American writers, and he wrote on a slew of topics, including love and war, travel and the wilderness. He wrote about what it means for a human being to experience great loss within their lives. Some of his novels, maybe you've read them, are A Farewell to Arms, or For Whom the Bell Tolls, or Old Man and the Sea. I remember that I had to read that the summer of my senior year. Maybe you did too, Joan. Seniors, I think you have to read that book. But maybe you haven't heard of his short stories. One of his most unknown short stories goes by the name of The Capital of the World. Has anybody heard of that one, The Capital of the World by Ernest Hemingway? You're going to hear about it now. It's only 19 pages. Very short. And in this 19-page work, you can read it today if you want. It's a nice read. He revisits one of his most famous literary subjects that he was fascinated with, that of bullfighting. Bullfighting. In the story, what Ernest Hemingway does is he depicts a young idealistic waiter, one who serves a table in a restaurant by the name of Paco, who has left his home village to become what in his mind is the romantic ideal of the glamorous matador in the great capital city of Madrid, Spain. Now, what Paco did is his choices that he made made him separate from his father, made him estranged from his biological father. You see, Paco wronged his father in a way that you'll have to read the story to find out what he did. And out of the great shame that he knew he brought to his father there, decided he was going to run away from home, never to return. And so what that caused in his father, Paco's father, is that he began searching all over Spain, from the very top to Compostela, all the way down to those lowest places, like in Zaragoza, Cordoba. He would go all the way to the west, to go into Extremadura, and all the way to the east, to head even there to the far coasts of their far areas next to France. He went all over to read about his journeys and travels in those 19 pages, and he never found his son. So in a final last-ditch effort, he got some sort of inkling, some sort of notice that maybe his son was there in Madrid, the capital city, for he wished to be a matador. And so he took out an ad in the Sunday edition of the most popular paper there in all of the city of Madrid. And the ad read this, in short, saying, "Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montana at noon on Tuesday. Stop. All is forgiven. Stop. Papa." And with these words, he hoped to be able to find his son, Paco, that he would somehow read the paper that day, that he could one day be reunited that upcoming Tuesday at the Hotel Montana in Madrid on Tuesday. Well, when Tuesday rolled around, Papa was there, across the street, waiting in a bar, hoping that he would catch sight of his son sometime before noon, and the clock struck. And if that was the moment of fate, would his son be there? As he walked across that dusty road that Tuesday over to the Hotel Montana, his hands were shaking as he touched the wood of that door to press it open. And as he did so, he was amazed at what he saw. For when he opened the door and the door swung open, he saw that there was a whole battalion of police officers there within the hotel lobby, trying to keep control over the many, many people who were there hustling and bustling upon that floor that day. On the hotel lobby floor, there were 800 boys swarming the entirety of that floor, that lobby that day in the Hotel Montana. And you know, it turns out that every single one of those 800 boys happened to be named Paco. And so there were, on that hotel lobby that day, the Hotel Montana, there were men. Each man had come there to that hotel hoping to find forgiveness from their fathers. There were 800 boys named Paco who had read that newspaper ad on that Sunday edition. There were 800 men who bore the weight of their guilt for only God knows how many years of wronging their fathers. 800 Pacos hoped with all their might that this Tuesday would be the day where they would hear the words of forgiveness that would set their souls at rest. That story hits home, doesn't it? There's something about that story because deep down, all of us, every single one of us, want reconciliation with our fathers, with our family members, to become a part of the family once again. When we've wronged our father, when we've wronged our family, and we're estranged from him, we suffer. And in that suffering, we lack peace. And in that restlessness that ensues within our hearts because of something we know absolutely that is our fault, that we have done, the only thing that can bring peace within our souls and rest is what? To hear those most necessary words. I forgive you. You're forgiven. That is true of all of us. With our own fathers, when we have forgiven, when we have wounded them grievously. But it's all the more important for you and me to hear from our Heavenly Father who art in heaven. What does sin do? What does sin do to your soul and mine? Does anybody know? What does sin do? Sorry. Sin separates us from our Father. Sin creates a block within our relationship, which is there. What our sins do, our sins, by every time we sin, we push away God out of our lives. And each time we sin, what do? We run away from the home. We run away from God. When we sin, we run away from our Father, leaving him behind because we cannot remain within that life of sin and stay within our Father's house. Our sins, brothers and sisters, they make each and every one of us just exactly like Paco. And when we realize our sins and the effects that they have on our relationship with us and our Father, we become like those 800 Pacos there at Hotel Montana that came there to Madrid that particular Tuesday at noon. We become desperate to be reconciled with our Father, to be forgiven. And our Lord Jesus, he is not surprised about that with you and me. that we are restless until we have forgiveness from Him. He knows that we need forgiveness. He knows that we need peace within our souls, and that's the only thing that can bring us rest. And He gave us an answer. He gave us a message in that way that is just for our times. And when our blessed Lord Jesus gave us that message of His mercy, He gave it not to us once, but particularly in two installments over the course of time. The first installment of His mercy was given to us in what you heard Deacon Marvin Marquez proclaim for us here from this very pulpit, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. What happens there is that in the Gospel, He appears to His disciples through locked doors, which they've locked out of fear, shaking, thinking that they will be the next ones crucified. Passing through those walls is the very person of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and after twice calming them down with the words, "Peace be with you, peace be to you," He says to them, as He breathes His Spirit upon them, saying, "Receive the Spirit." And He says to those first bishops, those who He ordained as His first priests, "Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you hold retained are held retained." The church has always looked at this passage, John chapter 20, the end of the Gospel of John, as the very place where Jesus instituted the great sacrament of His love, that sacrament of confession, of penance. And the instant that those words passed out of His mouth, the instant the Spirit came forth and was breathed upon His first priest that day, an ocean of God's mercy opened up for the entire world, up to any person who seeks His forgiveness from these priests and their successors. For every contrite, every afflicted, every repentant heart that goes to confession always leaves confession forgiven. That's 100% of the time. For nearly 2,000 years, within God's blessed church, people have lined up outside confessionals, just like the one we have in the back of the church, for 2,000 years, just like all those Pacos at the Hotel Montana, seeking forgiveness from their father. And every one of them, every contrite, every afflicted, every repentant soul has always left totally forgiven. You know, I remember sometime when somebody came to me at confession. They were there waiting nervously outside the confessional door. There was nobody else within the church. And when they saw me approaching the confessional, as they were nervously tapping their foot, they said, "Father, I don't know if I can even go to confession, because you're not going to forgive me." I looked at them and I said, "Why? What? Why would you say that?" I said, "Father, because I know. Because I'm struggling with sin. And I know I can't give up my sin completely. I know I'm not going to. Father, I'm not even sure if I want to give up my sin. But I know I should. So what's the point?" And I just turned to that individual and I said, "Why don't you come inside and see what happens?" And so as they, in disbelief, walked into the confessional box with me, I don't know what happened. I'm not sure. I don't know. It wasn't important to me. But I can tell you something that did happen there afterwards. That person that came in with doubt and fear and unbelief, I know that they left totally forgiven. Why? Because every soul who is struggling with sin, the soul, by very means of its struggle with sin, means that they do what? That they desire freedom, that they desire forgiveness, that they desire to have some sort of change within their life. That's what it means to struggle with sin. And everyone who struggles with sin always, eventually, becomes free. They eventually become free if they don't give up on the struggle. That's the key, brothers and sisters, is that when you and I struggle with sin, it doesn't mean when we walk into the confessional that we've already given up on the struggle and we're totally free. No, what happens is that when we begin to struggle, when we walk in there, it's the beginning of the struggle that leads to progress, progressively and progressively more and more freedom within our souls. Confession isn't for those who've totally given up on sin. Confession is for those who are struggling to find forgiveness and healing and wholeness only found in Christ in His forgiveness. The second installment of God's divine mercy took place 19 centuries later. It was in 1931, where our blessed Lord Jesus began appearing to a religious sister, a Polish nun, by the name of Sister Maria Faustina Kowalska. And He kept on appearing to her all the time until she finally expired from this earth at the age of 33. By the way, the very age which our Lord breathed His last and conquered sin and death. Jesus turned to her and He said to her, "My daughter, one day, soon, I will return as the just judge to judge the living and the dead for all the deeds which they have done in the flesh. But before that day, I want to begin a period, to usher in a period of My divine mercy for the whole world. And Sister Faustina, I want you to be the apostle of My divine mercy to a world in need." He said to her this, quote, "Mankind will not have peace until they return with trust to My divine mercy." You and I will never be at rest unless we turn to God with trust in His divine mercy. Our Lord says so. And so to help her to be able to be an effective apostle of his divine mercy, he said, here are the three tasks that you must accomplish. And when you do, an ocean of my mercy will be revealed to the world. The first thing he asked her to do was to have an image made, an image of him, just as he appeared to her, with two rays exuding from his most sacred heart. One that would be one of red and of blood, the other one of being white, of clear water of baptism. It is the very image that you and I see here today, always gazing down upon you and me here about our altar rail, pouring out his mercy for us, just the same as you see on Deacon Marvin's stole, his diaconal stole, as he's wearing it this day. The second thing that he asked her to do is to promote a new prayer called the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And he says this about that prayer. He says, quote, that those for whom this chaplet is prayed will receive from me the grace to return to my merciful heart and be saved, especially when it is prayed at the hour of their death. My grandmother, my maternal grandmother, never converted to Catholicism, but throughout the extent of her illness and even unto her very last breaths, we prayed with her near constantly the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and it is from that prayer that, though not Catholic, she received the greatest consolations of joy, calling out on my Jesus mercy, over and over again. The third thing that she was commanded to do by God Almighty through Jesus Christ in these apparitions was this, was to petition the Church and her authorities to establish a brand new feast day unknown by the Church and to place it upon the universal calendar, a day to honor God's divine mercy, and it should be yearly celebrated on the second Sunday of Easter, Low Sunday, Sunday in white. By the way, that's today, the second Sunday of Easter, the octave day. And on this day, this is what he says, on this day, the floodgates of my divine mercy will be opened up upon the world unlike any other day since my crucifixion. I promise that whoever would go to confession and would receive the Eucharist on this day would receive the forgiveness of all of their sins of their entire life and a total remission of the temporal punishment, meaning purgatory time, due to whatever sins they committed in the flesh. That is to say, brothers and sisters, that when you do what he asks, confession and communion upon the day, it will be as though you had just been baptized as a newborn babe, a total reset in your life. This promise was fulfilled in the year 2000, 22 years ago, just before Fabian was born, by John Paul II, a great saint of the Church. These promises open to us, open to each of us. There's open to all of us. There's none of us who is unable to receive this great mercy here. If you've gone to confession within the past month and are still within a state of grace today, if you receive Holy Communion today from this altar rail, then it will be as though you had just been baptized today, a total reset on your life, just like we baptized, Deacon Marvin did, a little girl right after Mass last evening. You will be spiritually as clean, as pure, as innocent as a newborn babe. And if anybody should die today after having received this promise, after having done what it is that our Lord demands and promises, there will be zero doubt. Read that, no doubt that you will immediately be whisked up to heaven, no purgatory whatsoever, as a saint there, just like all the other saints in heaven. Sin duda, without doubt. Brothers and sisters, that is an extraordinary promise of grace open to you and I today, just today. And it's for that reason why I will leave directly from this Mass and go directly into that confessional to hear the confessions of all those who are there giving, but the only penance is to pray the simple 3 o'clock prayer. St. Faustina Kowalska says that how great is the goodness of God. It is greater than we can understand. There are moments and there are mysteries of the divine mercy over which even the heavens themselves are astounded. Let our judgment of souls cease, for God's mercy upon them is extraordinary. Pope St. John Paul II said that there is nothing more that man needs than divine mercy. That love which is benevolent, that love which is compassionate, that love which raises man above his own weakness to the infinite heights of the holiness of God, that is divine mercy. Here today, brothers and sisters, every single one of us, we are all pacos. And today, God our Father took out in the biggest, boldest words possible an ad in a paper to be read to your souls. And his message is this. He calls you by name, my daughter, my son. Meet me at St. Rose of Lima Parish in Santa Rosa on Divine Mercy Sunday. Meet me in the confessional. And then meet me at the altar rail in Holy Communion. All will be forgiven. Signed, Papa. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.